And what we're heading into basically is a smart prison. It's a prison whereby everything will become digital, like all transactions will become digital. And if you think outside the box, they'll introduce some sort of a social credit system the way they've done in China recently. The way they're doing it is they're penalizing people through this social credit system, which basically forces them outside of the general box of society and forces them into a life where they've basically got no other option than to commit crime, steal to get what they want or whatever. And so they end up in the smart prison system. So that's the way they're going to be dealing with dissenters. They can just penalize you and lock you out of essential services because they don't like what you've posted on Facebook or whatever. You know, I can't stress this enough to people. You know, the technology that we are becoming enslaved to and the fact that everything is becoming digitized, this is the new world order.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. First, I want to thank everyone who is donating to my Patreon account, my Patreon channel. I am so thankful, and I had a lot of really good messages from people when I put out the censorship video that I just did. And people are realizing that, you know, censorship is real. And so I thank you so much for that. And I want to do a big shout out to Jim. I'm not going to use his last name, but a big shout out to Jim and thank him very much for his generosity. That being said, I want to talk about who's coming on today, Max Egan. He is a futurist. He looks at the world and figures out what's happening and where we're going. And he also is trying to educate people on how to make the world better along the way, how we can better ourselves, better our communities, better the world. And some of the stuff he has is kind of shocking in the way he sees the world going. And, you know, I would implore that you look into some of the things that he's talking about here and get a basis for this and see, is it real? Is the 5G network the new world order? And what are they going to do with that? What is the possibility? Not just the technology, which is great, which will have a lot more bandwidth, but what does that mean? How can that help or hurt our society? It's important for us to understand these things and what it means. And it's an eye-opening interview that I do with Max Egan. He's a great guy. He's in the middle of the jungle, so we couldn't do a video interview, so it's just audio, but still very enlightening. But before I get into that, I want to talk about what I'm doing to bring things to the table for you. I know I'm not making much money so with this, but it's so important to me that I get this information out there. So I'm looking for different ways to provide you with stuff that helps you. And I found another thing that I'm working with, which is the Grow Network. And they have over 100,000 people that are involved in this. And they are constantly educating people on how to grow your own food, how to use medicine, how to use make medicine yourself. By looking at and getting in this network, you can have healthier vegetables and save money and do your own medicine. Get off of the goal for them is to get off the grid, off of big pharma, big agriculture, and be able to support yourself. You'll be saving money and you'll be healthier. So I'm going to have a link here for you to be able to connect to them and get more information. They have an e-series. It's an educational series that they do online that teaches you how to do homemade medicines. Again, much healthier, and basic things like rashes and burns and upset stomachs and all sorts of things. If you're a parent, you're going to need this all the time. And over time, you're going to save way more money than what you're spending on it. So hopefully it'll be of interest to you. I have the link here. And let's get into that interview now with Max Egan. Hi, Max. Welcome to the program.
My pleasure to be here, Sarah. Thank you for asking me on.
Well, I'm so excited that you came because I've been watching some of the stuff that you do, and it's all about how to be a better person and how to contribute in a way that makes the world and society and others better, including yourself. And I wanted to start with, what do you think it means to be awakened?
Well, that's an interesting question. Like being awakened, you know, people wonder about enlightenment. They wonder about what's going on and rah, rah, rah. A lot of people think they're awake because they know certain information. But as I've often said, enlightenment is a destructive process. It's a breaking down of everything you think to be real. You know, a lot of people who think they're awake are only awake to a certain degree. They may be awake to the, you know, corruption and the fact that our governments may not necessarily be doing the right things, but the level of corruption is often too, you know, too deep for many people to even want to look at. It's so profound what's really going on here. And to be honest, I mean, I know very few people who are completely awake. I know people who are aware on many levels, but I know very, very few people who are awake to what is really going on this earth. I mean, and we're essentially living in a people farm if you want to look at what governments do and what they get up to. And it's a very confronting sort of a situation. It's very confronting information for most people to even want to look at. So that's the problem that we have. So, you know, being awake is to be aware of what's going on and to also possibly have some idea of what to do about it, you know. Embrace the warrior spirit. Don't be in fear. You've got to be aware of what's going on in order to fix it. You know, to fix a problem, you've got to know what the problem is to begin with. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. What does it mean to be awake?
Don't you think it's almost like an onion?
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. I mean, how awake am I? You learn new stuff every day. The problem is people get locked into belief systems. There's so much stuff out there for them to look at, and they'll latch onto something, and I'll think, okay, now I'm awake. But then that belief will affect everything else they look at. So, you know, awakening is a lifelong process, I think, really, if you want to look at it. You know, I still find out new stuff every day, even with all the stuff that I know. So it's an ongoing thing. Like you say, it's like peeling away layers of an onion.
And some of it can be really difficult to absorb. And you just don't even want to believe some of the stuff.
Well, that's the problem. It is. Some of it is incredibly confronting. You know, when you really look at what the elite get up to, I don't even like to call them the elite. I like to call them a cacistocracy because that's what they are. But when you look at some of the stuff they get up to, and you look at the level of corruption and the willingness to just have these wars and send sons and daughters off to die, killing other people's sons and daughters. I mean, for what, you know? And a lot of people don't even think about that. They don't think about war. They see it as something necessary. You know, we've come to be so acceptant of it. Oh, yeah, what war are we fighting now? What enemy are we repelling? But all of these wars that we fight are all wars of aggression. I mean, ultimately, any war is a war of aggression by somebody. You know, and you don't see too many people, you know, too many bombs falling on the United States. So why is the United States fighting on so many fronts, you know? And it becomes, people look at it, when they really look at it, it freaks them out. They shut down, they go into cognitive dissonance, and they don't want to look at the information because it's just too confronting. And when you start getting into some of the other really darker stuff, some of the pedophilia and stuff, I mean, even looking at it, it pollutes your soul. It makes you feel dirty to even look at the information. So it's very, very confrontational to people, you know. But the problem is, you know, the fact that they don't want to look at it is the reason that it continues is the problem. But, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why they make it so dark, because it's places people simply don't want to go. Nobody wants to look that far into the shadow, you know.
Well, and I know I did a show on pedophilia, and I actually got sick after. It was terrible. I mean, I was very professional during the interview, but after it was done, I practically had to crawl to a chair. I mean, it was so bad. And these little ones have to endure it. It's one thing, we're just listening to it. They're actually living it.
And yeah, well, it's terrific. Ahead. It's horrific. It's terrible. And like you say, you do. You feel dirty once you've even looked at the information. So that's a lot of the reason why people don't look at it. But again, that's a lot of the reason why it persists. Because it is real and it does happen, and it happens on a massive scale. And that's a lot of the reason why all these wars happen as well, because wars are a great source of human trafficking, great source of body parts, great source of children. And, you know, this is what the wars do, and this is what most of the wars are for. Now, people don't even realize what's going on, but it does. It makes you feel dirty when you look at it. And I'm glad you can – I mean, when I say glad, at least you can empathize with what I mean. Because you – and you've had this experience yourself of how bad it actually makes you feel.
Yeah, it's terrible. So what do you think are some of the big picture items that people, where we would be better off if we could wake up and see it versus so many of the micro activities now that seem to be going on to confuse people or distract people?
Well, so much of what's going on at the moment is a distraction. The big thing at the moment that's right in everybody's faces is this smart grid and the whole 5G network. You know, like what we're talking about with the pedophilia and some of the dark stuff, it's not something you can use to wake people up because, again, they just don't want to look there. It's too confrontational for them. But with the 5G and the smart grid, I mean, this is something that's in everybody's face and they can see it. And we've been starting to take action against this, like in Hawaii with the in-power movement and the liability notices they've been putting in. All the sorts of things we can do to slow this down. Anything we can do to slow down the rollout of 5G, we need to do. It's a very dangerous situation we're facing with 5G. It's basically a digital prison that's coming online that can also be used as an active denial system if they want to. So they can target individuals with 5G, they can disable individuals with 5G. And what we're heading into basically is a smart prison. It's a prison whereby everything will become digital, like all transactions will become digital. And if you think outside the box, they'll introduce some sort of a social credit system the way they've done in China recently. Whereas if you think outside the box in China, you start questioning government, they basically just deny you from certain services. Like you go to buy a plane ticket one day and you find that you're not qualified for that plane ticket. You're not qualified to ride on high-tier trains. And then it'll get to the stage where you're not qualified to buy certain high esteem items at the supermarket and things like this. You'll only be able to buy generic brand items and stuff like this. So the way they're doing it is they're penalizing people through this social credit system, which basically forces them outside of the general box of society and forces them into a life where they've basically got no other option than to commit crime, steal to get what they want or whatever. And so they end up in the smart prison system. So that's the way they're going to be dealing with dissenters. They can just penalize you and lock you out of essential services because they don't like what you've posted on Facebook or whatever. So this is the way it's going, a social crediting system whereby every transaction everybody does is monitored. Everything is smart, no cash. You walk into a supermarket, pick up what you want and walk out. It detects everything you've picked up. They're all microchipped. It detects you when you walk in. It detects you as you walk out. It detects what items are in your bag, and it takes a necessary amount out of your account. And if you that's the way it is. You don't have to see anybody. But like I said, if you don't like what the government's doing or you complain, they can simply lock you out of essential services. And if they do that, like the situation in China, there's a man been locked out. There's actually seven million people, I think, been locked out of essential services in China because of this social credit system. And they just go to do something one day and find they can't do it. There's no notification. There's nothing. And there's no appeal process. There's no one they can write to. There's no one they can ring. What they just have to do is start behaving the way the government wants and try to accrue those points again so that they have access to the basic services that everybody else has. So that's the sort of system we're heading into, a system that is there'll be two types of humans, desirables and undesirables. And when you can really explain what this smart system is to people and how it's going to work, you know, this is something that really gets in people's face and can be used to perhaps motivate them. Because it's been very difficult to motivate them up to this point because they won't accept that there's anything wrong because it's not in their face. They don't see it in their backyard. But this is putting it in their backyard now. So hopefully this will make a difference. In Hawaii, they started lodging liability notices to the government to hold them accountable for the rollout of smart meters, and they had great success. Smart meters are not being rolled out in Hawaii now, and they need smart meters for this system to work. So that's a good step on the ground people can do. And they need to do it now because once the system comes online, as I said, there will be no appeal process. Once it becomes all automated and it's all run by AI and AI is dictating everything, then who do you send the liability notice to? So we can't wait until the system is up and running. We have to nip it in the bud before it comes online. And that means stopping the rollout of 5G, means stopping the rollout of smart devices. And people need to get involved. They really do. People need to see the future that is being created and think what it would really be like to be living under a digital smart system where every move you make is monitored. You know, where your refrigerator is listening to you and your toaster is watching you and all this sort of stuff. That's what they're doing. There was a man arrested in Australia a couple of months ago because his fridge was listening to him and the police got him on something. And it's quite legal for them to do that, to turn on any smart device in your home and use it as a listening device. And that's the potential of this this technology. So people need to pay attention to it.
Well, the scary part is, you know, it's a technocracy nightmare to an extreme. The scary part is that we know a lot of people in leadership positions are not, some of the worst are running and doing this major corruption, and they're the ones that are going to have power over it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know,
that's what bothers me so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with technology per se. We use it all the time. We're using it now. It's who controls the technology. And when you can understand that the world is run by a criminal class, it seriously is. And if people need evidence of it, why say Exhibit A, the Earth, have a look. It's a mess, all because of what governments do. They're the ones that create this whole situation through the legislation that they write. So, you know, people need to look at it. And these are the guys that are going to be running this technology. These are the guys who are rolling it out. And they're not your friend. Government is not your friend. You know, technology is great, but not run by these people. You know, these are a criminal class. We have criminals running the world. And until we're prepared to admit that and factor that into our equation with whatever we're planning for the future, we're not going to get anywhere. We're never going to get anywhere doing anything. We will fail in everything that we try to do because the governments will nip it in the bud and they'll turn it around and make it into something that serves them the way they do with everything. And this is not the way this world should be run. It really isn't. You know, these people are all in abusive office. They're all doing things that they have no right to do. They give them powers they have no right to have. And we simply sit back and tolerate it. And now it's getting to the point that they're going to just be locking us down to this digital smart grid. And in the process, removing all of the real stuff, like all the libraries are becoming digitized. Everything's becoming digitized. Currency is becoming digitized. Everything is becoming digitized. We're losing access to all of our information, to all our life skills. It's all going into the digital realm. And all they have to do is shut you out of that. And then what's your life? You know, when it all becomes about the technology, then they've got you. They've got you by the short and curlies. They can do anything they want when every aspect of your life is governed by technology. And you just allow them to do it. Suddenly they've got you. They could just switch you off. And for kids that have grown up in this whole technocratic world, being locked out of that technology is like a death sentence to them. It really is. And it forces people into criminality, where they become an outcast, they end up in the prison system. What they've done in China as well, with this social crediting system that they've done, even if someone rings up one of the people who's been blacklisted, they've changed the ringtone on their phone so that a caller gets alerted to the fact that the person they're calling is on the government's blacklist.
Jeez, so it's like a scarlet letter.
Yeah, so, you know, it sort of, it makes sure that people don't want to associate with you, so you don't really have a chance of getting back online and getting back on top of things because you're just an outcast and you become an outcast. And that's what it's designed to do. And in that sort of a system, you won't be able to protest. And if you do protest and you want to complain about being outcast, there's no one to complain to because it's all run by the AI and it's all done on a social crediting system. They're all run by algorithms. And that's the way we're going. And people really need to pay attention to it. If that isn't going to wake them up and motivate them into wanting to pay attention and do something about this, well, I don't know what will.
Well, now, some people are claiming that they're working on technology to actually connect to our brains and on the wavelength of our electrical, because we're electrical beings. Now, how much of that have you investigated and can you speak to?
Well, look, it's quite possible they can do that. The technology is out there. And when you think about us being electrical beings, yeah, this is another aspect of 5G that a lot of people aren't taking into account. And there's also stuff like with the cryptocurrencies, there's a new coin come out called LunaCoin, where they're telling you they will give you a certain amount of LunaCoin if you donate your DNA to them. Mm. So what's this all about? You know, when you think about your DNA being what harvests your frequency from the field, are they able to mimic that? Are they able to clone you within a virtual reality, or are they able to affect you in the field, you know, at your root source by having access to your DNA code, perhaps cut off the signal to it, I mean, change the signal to it. I mean, who knows what these people are capable of? And then you've got stuff like Elon Musk talking about his neural mesh that would link us up to the AI, you know, through our brains. Would they be able to do that already through the nanotechnology, through the chemtrails, through all the stuff they're spraying? You know, people have to look at it. The possibilities of this technology are really off the charts. When you bring it online with 5G, which has the bandwidth to pull it off, then it's really off the charts what they're capable of doing with this. You know, will they be able to affect people's thoughts? Will they be able to implant ideas into people, voices, hearing voices, whatever? I mean, it's all possible with the 5G network, but especially when they gain control of your DNA or gain enough knowledge of your DNA. You know, your DNA is you. That is the frequency that is your consciousness in the field. So this is something you should not be giving to other people, especially not, again, these people who are running the world, these criminals that have run the world into the state that it's in. These are not the sort of people you should be trusting or giving any type of personal information to at all.
Well, let's talk about another subject that people are globbing onto and they can't get enough of, and that's the Q. He's putting out breadcrumbs and putting out messages. What do you think about that? Do you believe it's a real deal? Do you believe it's a way to distract people? What do you think?
I think it's a distraction. I really do. I think it's just more theater for the masses to keep them hanging on that something's imminent, you know, something's about to change. It's always imminent. There's always something, someone coming to save us. But, you know, with the QAnon data, even if there were mass arrests, you know, it's kind of a really Americentric way of looking at things. That's the problem with Americans, unfortunately. They have a very Americentric way of looking at things. Even if all the people being named by Q were arrested, well, it's only certain politicians within the United States. It doesn't address the smart grid. It doesn't change the situation in Europe, in England, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Africa, in anywhere else. And really, it's all one thing. It's one big corporate entity that's in process of basically, you know, solidifying the big department store they're running. If you can think of each country as a franchise, you know, the countries that aren't really part of the smart department store yet are being subject to hostile takeover. You know, so it's not really going to do anything. And I think it's a distraction. I think most of the theatrics of war between North Korea and America and even Iran and America are theatrics as well, because this smart grid is coming online in every single country underneath everything else. And the smart grid is the new world order. And I'm not seeing anything about this being addressed by the QAnon posts. All I'm seeing is, you know, people pointing the finger and wanting that scapegoat. We want to bring Hillary Clinton down. We want to take her to the hay and we want to watch her hang. Well, that's great. What are we going to do then? How's that going to change anything? It's not going to change anything. It's not going to change the smart grid. But people want, they desperately want someone to blame, someone to point the finger at and someone to say, it was you. And now that we've arrested you, everything's going to be great. Well, it's not, because the system itself is the problem. And all politicians are supporting the system. I'm not seeing Trump do anything that's going to actually change anything. You know, it's all theatrics. You know, it's all stuff designed for people who think that there is some point in politics. Now, when there isn't, the only thing that's wrong with government is that politicians are involved in government. Government should be there to manage infrastructure, to govern certain sections of the community, to have the infrastructure flow properly. But what's wrong with it is politicians get in the way and they use it as a career path for the corrupt. And I'm not seeing Donald Trump or the QAnon or anything address any of the reality of the situation at all. It's all finger pointing and throwing out little carrots for the people so they can sit back with their bags of popcorn and wait for all these mass arrests to happen like it's actually going to change anything. And I don't think it is. I don't think it will change a thing. I think it's a huge distraction and it's been coming out right now in order to cover up the rollout of this smart grid, because that is the real issue.
So you think it's all a cover up? Do you think that there will be any arrest to at least make it look like they tried to do something? Or do you think it'll just not happen and disappoint a lot of people?
Yeah, it probably will just not happen, I would say. I can't see Hillary Clinton getting arrested. I mean, if she does, it would be for some small thing. It wouldn't be for a tenth of what she's actually done. You know, and even if they do arrest a few people and throw them out to dry, well, that won't matter. I mean, will they even go to where we are told they go? If they get arrested and taken off somewhere, they just disappear from public view. Where do they really go? Do they go to jail? I can't see Hillary Clinton ever going to jail. There may be some public trial held and then she may disappear from public view, probably off to the Caribbean somewhere. I mean, I don't think any of these people really will ever come to justice. And I don't think that this QAnon information will really go anywhere. They may stage a few mass arrests, like I said, but it won't really mean anything because it's not changing the smart grid, and the smart grid is the new world order. You know, I can't stress this enough to people. You know, the technology that we are becoming enslaved to and the fact that everything is becoming digitized, this is the new world order. And it's been rolled out under the guise of convenience, and then all these theatrics are staged to keep us pointing the finger at everywhere else we can think of in the belief that if this person is arrested and these group of people are arrested, then the whole world's going to change. Well, it's not. It's not addressing the monetary system. It's not addressing the smart grid. It's not addressing any of the wars. It's not addressing anything. So, yeah, I think it's a huge play on behalf of government, and I don't think it's going to lead anywhere.
Well, what do you think about the North Korean thing? Because that's the big theatrics that we're going through. Do you think it's a proxy war with China, or do you think it purely is just theatrics?
I think it's theatrics. I really do. I don't think there'll be a war with North Korea. I think China will appease the situation, and it will be used to bring in the new Chinese credit system, the new One Belt, One Road trade initiative that China wants to bring online. You can't imagine, you know, America going to war with North Korea, or North Korea, this tiny little country, going to war with the United States. I mean, seriously, why would they even do that? And it's right on the borders of China. You know, you really think China is going to let America be throwing bombs across its to this country that's right on its border? How many bombs are going to miss and hit China? you know? So, yeah, the whole thing is theatrics. They're going to make it look like it's really bad and look like it's on the verge of happening, and then China will step in and appease the situation. We'll talk to North Korea. North Korea will agree not to be so hostile and warmongering if we open up trade. And then the trade relations will happen, and the whole China will be awarded the new One Belt, One Road system, control of it. And I suggest that we'll probably all move over to some sort of digital currency at that stage as well. And what I think will be the ultimate result, or quite possibly the ultimate result from this North Korean situation, is America might end up losing its place as the global reserve currency. And then the country will have to pull together and struggle and try to get back on top of things. And they'll just gradually introduce the Chinese work ethic across the United States just for a little while, you know, while we all band together to bring the country back online and get back to the top of the food chain. You know, but I think it's all theatrics. I think this has been designed to bring down the United States and to usher in a new global credit system.
It may seem
a little off, you know, like that may seem right out there for people to think about it that way, but that's what I think it's about. If you can really look at it economically, I think the whole world's a business. And if you wanted to bring in this digital system and you wanted to introduce the Chinese work ethic in the United States, how would you go about it? And why is it that the United States, majority of debt the United States owes is to China? I mean, it could have borrowed this money from anywhere. Why China? You know, this has all been done to get the United States under the wing and under the belt of China and make it subservient to the Chinese system. But they've got to do it slowly. And it's got to look like it's all part of a natural progression. So you use wars, you use cryptocurrency, you use all these things to just switch it over to this digital system run by this new type of economic system that China wants to roll out. So that's the way I think it's going to be played. You know, all the world is a stage and all these governments work together. I don't think there's any real enemies anywhere. I think all these governments work together to do what they want to do, and it's all about bringing this whole One Belt, One Road and this whole smart grid online, and it's always been about bringing this smart grid online. I think all governments are working to do this, regardless of who's playing the enemy this week.
Do you think that the Chinese way of life will eventually take hold here? I mean, as far as – you're talking, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have these social contracts, and because they're a modified communist country.
Well, yeah. Well, what's going to happen? It won't be the Chinese way of life, but it will be the Chinese work ethic, where you see everyone lined up doing their calisthenics and all this sort of stuff. We'll all be pay as you go for everything that you do. You have to pay to use the bathroom. Every time you open your fridge, it will cost you a couple of credits. You know, you turn on your tap, a couple of credits. Everything will be a couple of credits for everything you do. And it will be this Chinese work ethic that comes online, not necessarily the Chinese way of life. They'll allow people to keep their way of life in inverted commas, to keep their culture in inverted commas. But it'll be the Chinese work ethic. And once it gets introduced, it only takes one generation to lose your freedom and to change your world completely. One generation. You know, all we know is really one generation. So it's going to be easy for them to do, to bring this online. And once it's all digital and it's all monitored, it'll just be this natural progression. And it will seem like it's a natural progression. You know, we're just, because the dollar's gone down and all this stuff's happened, we've got to band together. We've got to, you know, really turn this back into an industrial nation to bring it back online, to get everybody back on top of things. You know, this is what Trump's sort of working towards. He wants to bring back industry and all this sort of stuff. It's all in preparation for this. To introduce this Chinese worker, they get it back up to 100% employment if they can, you know, and all the people that don't want to be part of the system will be discarded, they'll be blacklisted, they'll be part of the prison system. So this is the way to do it, to have desirables and undesirables. But how do you do it? You've got to look at it. All the world's a stage. How do you introduce this system? Because the people of the United States will never accept it. So you've got to really crash the economy, and then you've got to introduce this in a way of, yeah, let's be Americans. Let's tighten our belts and band together and build this country back up to once it, you know, what it once was. Let's make America great again, you know. So you can see where it's all going. That's how it's going to be done, I think.
Well, what should we be focusing on then? Like, as you, we should be focusing on this rollout of the 5G. That's the most important thing, you think, right now. Or is it rolling on or focusing on the corruption issue? Because the technology itself isn't the issue, it's the people that are in charge.
The problem is that a lot of people simply won't accept that their politicians are corrupt. They just won't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an undeniable fact. It's just the cognitive dissonance. People wouldn't believe that their leaders would do the things that they're doing. But the 5G grid, you can blame the science community, you can blame the FCC, you can blame Tom Wheeler, you can blame people like that, and eventually that might, it'll crack that shell and caused people to look at the legislation that allowed Tom Wheeler and the FCC to do these things. So it's just a process. You know, people, you'll never wake people up to the corruption by showing them how bad it is. You can put it in their face as much as they want, and they still will not accept it. You know, cognitive dissidents, they believe, they have absolute faith in their leaders. A lot of people think all these wars are necessary. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. This is unfortunately the problem. You know, it seems so obvious to us. We can look at it and go, well, look, you know, here's the problem. The world's run by criminals that write all this legislation that have created this whole mess, and it's completely obvious to us. And we can see that. But you can tell that to the man next door, and he just won't see it. He just will not. And even if he does see it, he won't be prepared to admit it in himself, because the truth is just too painful for him to admit. And it's too confrontational, because if he admits that to be true, then it might mean he has to do something about it, and he doesn't want to do anything about it. He doesn't know what to do about it, and he'll just run and hide in his basement in a little ball of fear. So it just doesn't work that way. So you've got to look at something like the 5G grid and this smart grid and realize that through things such as the empowerment movement and these liability notices, you can actually empower yourself, and you can actually make a difference, and you can stand up for yourself, and that maybe will give people the confidence to stand up for themselves in other ways. So I think the 5G and the smart grid is one of the greatest opportunities we've had to show people that this is in their face now. There's now no denying that you are going to be locked into this smart prism if you don't do something about these criminals that are running this whole world and that are allowing this to happen. You know, through the smart grid and through the rollout of the smart grid, you may be able to alert people to how corrupt the politicians are. But you can't do it by talking about the pedophilia or the human trafficking or all the really bad stuff that's going on, because, like I said, their cognitive dissonance will not allow them to accept it. But the smart grid's in their face. They're getting meters on the corner of their houses. So it's in everybody's face. Everyone's seeing the polls being rolled out. So it's a good opportunity for us, and it's a good tool we can use to, you know, hopefully show people that it's in their face now and they have to stand up and do something about it.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about that. I think, well, some people maybe will wake up with the trafficking. If they see it personally, they probably would. You know, the smart grid, maybe. I still think there's going to be people that are just think, well, it's benign. It's technology. So what? We just use it. You know, I'm even more pessimistic than you. I'm just not sure if enough people will even think that is a problem.
Yeah, well, they soon will, I would say, if they start getting sick from it.
But, yeah, that's different.
Show them. I mean, even if you point out to them the fact that when the 5G grid comes online, it's going to be like we're all living permanently inside an airport scanner. You say that to people, it kind of makes the penny drop a little bit. You know, so, I mean, look, sure, I mean, the pedophilia, anything you can use, anything that will cause that penny to drop is a good thing to use. But I've found with this smart grid, at least it does empower people. They realize that they can make a difference on the ground if they just stand up and say something, you know, because people are too scared to say something because they think, well, what can I do? I'm just a little person. But we're all just little people. The politicians are just little people. All that exists on this earth is little people. You just, some have maneuvered themselves into positions where they control other little people.
Well, elites are little people.
Help to do it, you know, so... You know, this is something that I think can work. But, hey, anything that you think will work, do it. I'm all for it, whatever it is, because, you know, we need the masses to wake up. Although we don't need all of them to wake up. We just need the ones who are awake and the ones that are aware to get a little bit of focus. And I think 5G is something we could focus on, you know, because all these politicians that are allowing this to happen are all in abuse of the office that they hold. They're not even in abuse of power. Because, you know, they don't have the power to do what they do. They're in abuse of the office they hold by giving themselves powers they have no right to have and writing legislation they have no right to write because it doesn't serve mankind. It doesn't serve our societies. And they just say, oh, well, now we've written it. It's law because we said so. And that happens because we allow it. So we've got to look at this and realize that this is all based on just politicians and wrong behavior and these people giving themselves powers they don't have. And it's all an abuse of the office that they hold. And we need to call them on it. Call them for abusing the office that they hold, because that's what they're doing.
And I think as more and more people personally are affected, and that's what you're saying with the 5G, is that everybody's personally affected by this. And not everyone is personally affected by organ trafficking or pedophilia or whatever. But if you're personally affected by this stuff, then maybe you'll wake up.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's in people's face now, and everybody is personally affected by this. So maybe this is what will be needed. Maybe this is something that will work to wake people up to what's going on, and wake people up to the fact that their governments are corrupt. They're doing things to serve corporations and big business and nothing really to serve the people. And the people are really, the people have become the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system. And this 5G rollout proves it. You know, it's all about monitoring everything and tracking everything and getting, you know, an economic value on every action that people perform, regardless of the health damage that it causes to them. So maybe this will cause to wake people up a little bit.
So you travel all over the world, and in fact, you're in a jungle right now. What do you learn while you're traveling? I mean, what are you seeing other people think and do, and what are they?
Well, I see a lot of desperate people. I see a lot of people wanting answers, but again, I see pockets of resistance everywhere I go. The only reason I really travel is to try to spread awareness and try to wake people up. But again, you know, we don't even need the whole population to wake up. We just need the ones who are awake to get some focus. So that's what I try to do with the talks and when I travel and when I meet people. You know, I like to see what the situation is like on the ground in various countries, and I like to hear from people on the ground. And so it's good for that. But you know, I mainly travel because I just get invited to certain places to speak and do that sort of stuff. So, you know, they kind of look after it and they get me there and then get me to the next place. And it takes a lot out of you, but I think it needs to be done. I think it's important for people to get out and actually talk to people on the ground. And it's also important for people who listen to the radio shows and watch the films and stuff to see that I'm real and that, you know, I walk my talk and everything I say there, I mean, and that we can make a difference. I mean, I'm one person who's made a difference. I've reached thousands of people, and only because I've been prepared to speak and prepared to speak out and prepared to name things for what they are. So we need more of that, and hopefully I can show that example to people and they can become creative and start speaking out in their own community and start making a difference on the ground where they live. So that's what it's all about. You know, I think this is the last generation that we've got to really turn this around. You know, people my age, people your age, people, you know, that are coming up that have already been through the system, that have a reference point to know what it was like before all this tech come online. You know, we're the ones who have to point out the dangers of this, and we're the ones who have to change it, because the kids that are coming up through school now, by the time they get through and they're educated and they're out in the system, they will have absolutely no reference point of what freedom could have looked like or did look like. You know, not that we're free now, not that we ever were, but at least we're freer now than what we're going to become. But they will have no reference point for that. And with the social divide, the way the sexes have been divided and the kids have been divided from their parents, nobody will listen to anybody anymore. So the parents can't tell their children to, you know, put their phones down and start behaving like a normal human being in the real world, because the kids will see it as child abuse. Now my parents denying me basic rights and services like a mobile phone, you know, so, you know, they're not going to have any reference points. So it's up to us to turn this around, and we've got to get bold and we've got to get really truthful in what we're saying. You know, don't pull any punches. Call things for what they are. Name these criminals for what they are. Name this smart grid for what it is, and simply refuse to go along with it. And if people demand that you do, well, demand that they, you know, get investigated or whatever. I mean, make a stand. People have to make a stand against this. We've got to do something to stop this rolling out, and we've got to realize that if we ask the right questions and speak in the right way in a public enough manner, we can stop this rollout, because they bamboozle people with languages and what people think law is and all that sort of stuff. You know, we've simply got to ask the right questions, like, you know, why do they think they have the right to do it, question why they shouldn't be charged with abuse of office, and just point out the obvious, the damage that this is doing. You know, like even with the In Power movement, what they've done is they're lodging affidavits to show the damage that 5G does. And then the politicians basically have to lodge an affidavit to debunk that if they want to take themselves out of a liability situation. And they can't, because all the information's true. And so we should follow that even further. So now that they're not able to debunk this affidavit that we've put in there, and they're not able to debunk these liability notices, let's push it further and have them charged for abuse of office for even daring to roll this technology out to begin with and thinking they have the power to do it. You know, we've got to start taking on an aggressive stance towards this, not just defending ourselves all the time. We've got to start naming things for what they are and identifying this criminal class for who they are and accept the fact that the world is run by criminals. That's the hard part for people to do. But hopefully, like I said, this 5G system, if you look at the dots and connect the dots and realize, well, they'd have to be criminals to be rolling this out to begin with. So perhaps you need to re-examine your, you know, opinion of politicians. You know, maybe that will help. You know, I think it's a process, and I think it's a tool, And I think it's the best hope we've got at the moment, this 5G grid. And again, it's something we've got to do, this generation has to do, because the kids will not do it because they will have no reference point. They won't even know what you mean by saying this system isn't normal and natural and hasn't been here all the time, you know. Like I said, all it takes to lose your freedoms is one generation. And we're the generation now where those freedoms are being lost. So it's up to us to stand up and push it in another direction.
Now, is 5G simply a more powerful bandwidth and network, or is it also something that is at our frequency as humans?
Well, 5G is millimeter waves, very, very short waves. So it means they need to put massive amounts of towers everywhere. It's very, very fast communication. It's not that we're on the same frequency as 5G. It's just that it's a very, very narrow millimeter wave. Like 4G, the whole rollout, one generation, two generation, third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation. And it's all been the same. The first four generations have basically been improvements on the same technology. But 5G is millimeter waves, and it's military-grade technology. And it's the only thing that we know of at the moment that will provide the bandwidth they need to run the Internet of Things. And so they're running it out without the standards. They don't care what damage it does to people. And we know what damage it does to people because it can be used for microwave cannons and all sorts of stuff, active denial systems. So we know it's a very, very damaging system. Anyway, just standing alone, even without being used as an active denial system, it's the same frequency as airport scanners. So you're going to see massive rises in cancer and all sorts of stuff. But it isn't because it affects tuned to anything like our biology or anything like that. It's just that the sheer amount of waves and the sheer amount of towers we're going to have and these tiny little millimeter waves, this is very, very dangerous.
Well, see, I think it can mess with our electrical circuits mess up our, like, put us on a different wave because we don't know how our bodies really work. We're still trying to figure it out. And being bombarded by that many waves, I think that's why you're saying cancer. And they can be used as energy weapons. I know we almost sound like freaks saying it, but it's true. And that's what people are not aware of. It's not only the technocracy nightmare where they can control everything, but also just our biology and the energy weapons and cancer and...
Well, yeah, and you think about it, you know, when they've got control of people's DNA or knowledge of people's DNA, how can they tune it for that? You know, can they pinpoint and target people and do it that way? And I believe that you can with 5G. So it's an all-encompassing smart system. It's an all-encompassing lockdown that we're seeing here with complete and utter disregard for any physical effects, any ill effects or any damage, any cancers, anything that might happen. They're not concerned about that at all. They just want this smart system in place. And the problem is, like I said, that it's all going to be run by AI. I mean, once it all comes online as AI, you won't even really need governments. They'll just be there in name only. So you've got figureheads. It'll be the AI dictating what happens. So, you know, it's a freaky situation we're being led into. And people need to pay attention to it.
Do you think it will affect
all sorts of ways? You know, like the 5G, but the fact that we are electrical beings, it basically gives them access to every single part of you, depending on how they want to tailor the frequency and where they wish to target you. And like I said, if they've got access to your DNA, then they can probably do it on the absolute deepest level. So, yeah, people need to look at it. But this is something very difficult, again, to talk to people about because they just go, oh, this is all science fiction.
Yeah, they do that job. So, yeah. So what about censorship? Do you think censorship will be all-encompassing at some point?
Well, people will censor themselves through this social credit system. People won't dare think outside the box because they'll be penalized. They'll lose access to Facebook or they'll lose access to buying certain goods or flying on certain aircraft. You know, they won't have an Instagram account or something. So people will self-censor themselves. I mean, they are already. Political correctness, this is a form of self-censorship. You know, and then you've got the social justice warriors out there to enforce political correctness. But you won't need to with the 5G grid. People will absolutely censor themselves. And if they don't, they'll get penalized. They'll get locked outside the system. They'll become an undesirable. And then they'll just disappear into the smart system, into the smart prison. So, yeah, it'll be a case of self-censorship. You know, don't get angry. Don't show any emotions. Just walk this little line here and you'll be good. And try to accrue as many points as you can on likes on Facebook or whatever to become a popular person and you'll be all good. Just think inside this box. Don't think outside it. Because if you do, you won't get access to certain services. You won't be able to have the latest Instagram account or whatever and your friends won't like you. So you become a lesser person. and no one wants to become a lesser person. So that's what it's all about. I mean, people are self-centering themselves now. And once it becomes a social credit system, they'll do it even more so. So, yeah, we won't need any government censorship at all. We'll do it ourselves.
So meanwhile, the little ones will be controlled completely, and those who figure out the system, the sociopaths, will get away with the worst atrocities imaginable.
Well, they already are, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about it. Once you've got the kids that are coming up through school now, and our generation sort of dies off, and you've got the kids coming up through school now, what are their kids going to be like? If they're even able to have kids with what's going on, they've got all these robots and everything else coming online. So, you know, all this leads towards depopulation. People don't realize that the dangers of you know, this sexual divide that we're having and men wanting to have female robot wives and women wanting to have male robot wives. This means no more breeding except in ectogenesis chambers or whatever, you know, the government wants to breed and wants to grow themselves, these little clones. So people have absolutely no reference point if we allow this system to come online. You know, that's why I'm saying it's our generation that has to change it. You know, it's going to be terrible for these kids. They're not going to know at all what the world is like if we don't do something about this.
Well, what do you think are the most important items that people can do now, our generation? What specifically tangible things can they do?
Well, the best thing they could do would be to actually call things for what they are. You know, people simply aren't calling things for what they are. They're going through this process. Like I said, they have all these plans and all these situations they want to bring online, all these great ideas, all these political movements or whatever. But if you don't factor into the equation the fact that your government is run by criminals, you deal with that criminal class, you're not going to get anywhere. So people really need to identify that fact. And that's what they need to do, is start calling things out for what they are and naming this for what it is, calling these people out for the criminals that they are and asking the right questions, pointing out the fact that they're all in abuse of office and they're giving themselves powers they have no right to have. You know, that's the first step. I mean, you can do little things on the ground, like I was saying, with the Empower movement or whatever you want to do, little moves that you've got. You might have some initiative that's gone in your local community, whatever. Great, get involved in it. But factor into the equation the reality that this world is run by criminals. It really is. So that's what we need. We need a massive amount of people telling the truth, and we're just not getting that.
Yeah, we do need more people telling the truth, at least digging in and trying to figure out what it is. So how can people learn more about your work? I know you have your own radio show and or you do videos and things, and you have your own website. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Okay, my website is thecrowhouse.com. You can find out everything about me there. If you go there, you'll find a wealth of information. I've got archives going back 10 years. I've got all sorts of radio shows, and I've got six films that I've made. I'm working on another one at the moment. You'll find links to all the stuff that I've done. It's all there. It's all free. I don't have any advertising on the website. I don't have anything for sale. There's nothing to buy, nothing to subscribe to. I've just put it out there because I want people to get the information, because I think it's important. I really think it's important information. I've got a lot of really powerful stuff up there. But you'll find links to all my stuff right there at thecrowhouse.com.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a really eye-opening experience, I think. And, you know, all of us that are trying to learn the truth, it gives you a different perspective to look at and what to focus on. And I don't know. We're living in a strange time.
We are, Don. We are. Very strange time. But, you know, we can fix it. We can head it in a different direction. We have all the tools we need to do it now. It's just getting that focus and re-embracing the warrior spirit and being prepared to stand up and call things out for what they are. You know, if we do that, they haven't got anywhere to go. The problem is that not enough people actually call it for what it is. You know, they beat around the bush and they don't factor into the equation, like I said, the fact that the world is run by criminals. And once you factor that in, the way out of this mess becomes pretty clear. But Thanks for asking me on, Sarah.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. You have a wonderful time in the jungle. Sounds like so much fun.
I'm here for another 8 days, and then I've got to get back on the speaking tour. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to have a little bit of a reprieve. A bit of wet here at the moment, a bit muggy, pretty full-on jungle at the moment. But it's good. It's good to be back.
Well, good. Well, maybe hopefully we'll meet in person someday.
You never know.
Okay. Well, have a great day. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.